Desert Island Discs.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? On our desert island this week is a celebrated instrumentalist. He's made many fine recordings, some of which have preceded him to this island, and I don't think many people will disagree if I say that he's the foremost French horn player in the world today. Here is Dennis Brain. Well, first question, Dennis, how have you set about choosing this music for your desert island exile? What have been the basic principles you've worked on?
I've chosen pieces of work that I'm not likely to have played, or could possibly have played. Pieces by pianists, violinists, singers, and I regret, perhaps only one orchestral item.
You think perhaps you can hear good performances in your head of the whole familiar works that you've played?
I think so, Beethoven 5 and 7 and those.
You must have played the Beethoven 5 a good many times.
Yes, I have absolutely no idea.
Do you collect records yourself?
Yes, rather on those principles.
That it's the artist, the personality of the artist that can't. As much as the music.
The artist and the piece. Must be a good piece, of course.
And what's the first record?
The first is a recording by Heifetz. I greatly admire him. I've learned a lot from his records and many of the artists I'm going to put on. And it's called Guitar of Moskovsky.
Heifetz playing guitar. And what's the second one?
The second one is of a pianist. And, of course, there are so many magnificent pianists that to choose is very difficult, but I think even if there is rivalry between them, they would all plump for one above others, and that is, of course, Rachmaninoff. Not a record of him playing his own music, but of a little piece by Liszt called The Dance of the Gnomes.
Yes. Is this as technically difficult as much of Liszt's piano music is? I don't know The Dance of the Gnomes at all.
It is extremely difficult, yes, but it is a very good piece. As well, the only thing about it is, of course, it is rather an old recording now.
Going back to the beginning of your career, Dennis, coming from a musical family, as you do, with your father, the foremost horn player in the country of his day, was it a foregone conclusion that you would be a musician?
Yes, it seemed to be accepted in my family that, at a suitable age, I would just take up a horn, perhaps, and become a horn player.
Yes. When did you begin your musical training?
I started when I was about 7 or 8. My mother was wise enough not to teach me the piano herself, but sent me to the local piano teacher, who was very good. And when I was about 14, my father thought, I suppose, that perhaps it's about time he did something with the instrument, and he tactfully came up to me one day and said, I found an old instrument. Would you like just to see what you can do on it?
Yeah.
And so I did, and we've been going ever since.
Had you ever tried to play the horn before? Had you ever tried your father's instrument?
Apparently he put it to my lips when I was 3, and I am supposed to have blown a perfect note, but I don't remember it. Then my brother does.
And when he gave it to you, you took to it immediately?
Yes.
Well, let's have another record. What's number 3?
Third is Frank Sinatra, You Go to My Head, which is also one of my wife's favourites.
Your family favourite, Frank Sinatra singing You Go to My Head. Well, Dennis, at the age of 14 you took up playing the French horn. What was your first professional engagement?
My first engagement was when the Bush Chamber Players came over to this country in 1938 to do their Bach series of Brandenburg Concertos in the Queen's Hall, and they engaged my father, naturally, as first horn, and asked him to get a second. Well, he decided to take the risk and engaged me. And I remember the concert well because it was after Sir Henry's Jubilee concert in the Albert Hall at which Rachmaninoff played his second piano concerto.
And after that, what happened? Did you join a permanent orchestra?
After that, of course, came the war. I joined the Aria Central Band.
Yeah. Did that mean playing military band music all the time, or did you sometimes get together with the string orchestra to play orchestral music?
Our CO, Wing Commander O'Donnell, was able to get permission to retain at Uxbridge, which was the band's headquarters, about 20 or so string players. And with the certain members of the military band, the wind players, he formed an orchestra, which then gave concerts, two of the RAS stations and so on in Britain, and even broadcast.
Yes. And you travelled all over the British Isles?
All over the British Isles, and to America in an exchange with an American Air Force band, which came to England on a sort of war bonds drive.
Yes. Well, since then, as a soloist and with various orchestras, you've travelled, what, pretty well all over the world, haven't you?
Yes, including Europe, not Russia, and not Australia yet.
Well, there's a still to come, we hope.
I
Well, after the war, what?
After the war, the Philharmonia Orchestra was formed, which I joined, and shortly after that, the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, which I also joined.
At the same time?
Yes. And then, of course, work got to much too much in both orchestras, and I had to choose between one or the other, and I chose the Philharmonia.
Yes.
I think for a reason that I wouldn't like to say which is the better orchestra, but...
of course not.
The Philharmonia was inclined to interfere less, perhaps, in solo engagements than the other.
Yes. Well, what about another record?
My next record, of course, is my orchestral record.
The Philharmonia?
No, I'm afraid not. It's the New York Philharmonic Orchestra, in a work by Richard Strauss, or part of the work, A Hero's Life, The Battle Scene. Richard Strauss, of course, being perhaps the most colourful writer for the orchestra. And it's conducted by Mengelberg, to whom Richard Strauss dedicated the work.
Being a musical ignoramus, Dennis, I'd like to know something about this instrument, the French horn. It has all those frightening coils. Something I've always wondered, how long would it be if it was all straightened out?
That's a question I do get asked. It would be anything from about 6 feet to 16, or perhaps a little more, or less, according to the type of instrument.
Yes.
It was originally a hunting horn without any vowels, on which you could only play a certain series of notes, rather like the bugle, and perhaps a few more. Then, of course, vowels were added, which gave you a complete chromatic range. And now, of course, we even get 5 or 6 valved instruments.
Yes. When you choose an instrument, when you choose a French horn, do you choose, as for example, when you choose a violin, you choose an old and mellow one, and when you choose a harp, as Sidonie Goossens told us some time back on this program, a new one is best. When you're choosing a French horn, what do you go for?
One goes for compromise. One tries to get an instrument which is made out of mellow brass rather than the sort of brass you associate with a saucepan. But
yes.
On the other hand, one wants to get an instrument made by modern techniques and with modern vowels, because vowels do wear.
Mm-hmm. As a soloist, you've recorded a number of horn concertos by Mozart and Haydn and so on, and also a number of solo works. Is there a large repertoire for the French horn?
The repertoire, unfortunately, is rather small compared with that of the violin or the piano. There are 4 Mozart, 2 Haydn, 2 Strauss concertos, and 1 or 2 other works. And it's rather a sad thought that if I go on playing at a concert where I play with a violin and piano for the next 30 or 40 years, assuming one goes on that time, I shall always have to play the same work, which is the Brahms Horn Trio.
Almost as bad as the Beethoven Fifth.
Yes, of course, but the Brahms is chamber music, which does bring me to my next record. It's a little piece for 4 horns and harpsichord, pure chamber music, music of the size of a combination to be performed in a chamber or small room, and it's called Hornbelt Boogie, recorded by Mitch Miller.
Well, that puts rather a new light on chamber music as usually defined. Dennis, do you play that sort of music yourself?
I have done. I used to play with Giraldo at the end of the war when he had horns in his orchestra. And for the fun of it, we did an arrangement of Where in the World and 1 or 2 other little things like that. Only thing is, of course, that the trombone is so much better at performing that sort of music than the horn.
Mm.
Except perhaps for Mitch Miller.
Are modern composers in the more serious kind of music writing much for the horn nowadays?
I think there are many continental and American composers, and of course in England there's Gordon Brown and Gordon Jacob who've written concertos, and Humphrey Sill and Elizabeth Lutyens. And perhaps the biggest work to come along in the last 20 years is the Serenade of Benjamin Britten, written for tenor voice, horn and strings. And that, of course, brings me automatically to the next record, which is the only English record I'm putting on, English in every sense. It's an English folk song played by English artists. It's Sally Gardens, arranged by Benjamin Britten, sung by Peter Pears, accompanied by Benjamin Britten.
Well, now comes the question that must be asked. How well do you think you're equipped for a desert island existence, Dennis? Are you a handyman?
Well, I suppose I'm as handy as most people around the house, mending fuses, painting, and cooking, and so on.
Cooking, that's useful. A good cook?
No, but providing I have flour and so on, I can make some pancakes.
Well, the flour's up to you. You'll have to cultivate whatever kind of wild corn there is on the island. Eggs, I suppose, seabirds' eggs. Well, you should be all right for pancakes, at any rate.
Good.
What are your hobbies, apart from mending fuses?
Motoring, principally. A very good hobby to have, because one travels quite a bit, and it's usually quicker and more practical than public transport.
Yes, you don't go in for it seriously and go to rallies and that sort of thing.
No.
Well, what about another record, number 7 we've got to now?
Well, this record has personal connections for me because at the end of the war, I went to America with the Air Force when England was at its most austere. And, of course, in the New York nightclubs, all the top 9 American bands were playing, and the combination of that and a good meal was too much for me. So I went along to hear Tommy Dorsey's band. And during the evening, they played this record with the same artists that are playing on the record, except for Gene Krupa. It's called Well Get It, and Ziggy Ellman and Carl Peterson really do try and succeed. Well, we won't have time to play it all, but as the best is yet to come, let's skip to the end.
Tommy Dorsey and his band, and they certainly got it. Oh, what's the last one, Dennis, number 8?
The last one is in the nature of a lullaby, which I think one would need after the previous record.
Yeah.
It's called A West Finnish Dance by the Finnish composer Palmgren, and played by a pianist whom I very greatly admire, Mazevich. I remember when I was about 20, I was playing at a concert at which he was playing the Emperor Concerto, and I wanted his autograph. So I went down and asked him for it, and he said, well, of course, you know, it'll be half a crown for the Musicians Benevolent Fund or some other charity. I said, oh, that's all right, and paid him and got the autograph. About 2 years after that, and I mean, he didn't know me from Adam, I had to get another one for somebody. And so I asked him again, and he looked me straight in the face with that impassive countenance and said, why, wasn't the other one any good?
Well, after that, let's hear Mojzevich play the West Finnish Dance. There are your 8 records. Now you've got one more choice to make. That's your luxury object. What one luxury would you like to take with you?
I think I should plump for an inexhaustible supply of motor magazines.
Yes, I don't know about inexhaustible. We'll certainly give you a complete set of back numbers of 2 or 3 of the best. How'll that do?
Thank you.
Well, as we usually say when people have chosen something to read, you can have something else. We'll give you another choice. What else would you like?
A typewriter.
Yes?
Because I'm not a very good correspondent. I don't like writing letters, and whenever I would wake up in the morning and see it, I should be able to look straight at it without getting a guilty conscience.
You wouldn't use it to write a book?
No, I wouldn't write a book.
Well, that's rather a change. And you're not going to choose your French horn to take with you?
Well, of course, the not taking of the French horn would also be a luxury object.
Well, many thanks, Dennis Payne, for letting us hear your choice of Desert Island Disc. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.